Let him cook. Let him cook now. Let him cook. I said let him cook.
Good morning.
Howdy ho, everybody.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show.
I hate you so much.
It is episode 556 of the Two Dumb Yenders. Glad to be back. How are you guys doing today?
I'm all right. I got a sick kid, so, you know, I'm dealing with that. But, you know, we're doing good. We're doing good, though.
That's the worst. The sick kid is the worst because, you know, no matter what you do, they are going to be sick. They don't understand why they're sick. They don't understand how, you know. And you know, the only thing you can do is just kind of give them their medicine and wait it out, you know?
He doesn't even want his medicine. I'm like, come on, bro. Normally he takes it. And he's just like, nah, I'm like, I'm not fighting it.
you got to do like we do to Derpy and pretend it's an airplane. You go, woo, open wide, Derpy, you know?
I might have to do that.
You could let him play tic-tac-toe on your bald head.
That made
no sense, Derpy. That made no sense. There's no board up here. It's... You know, it's bald, shiny, and beautiful.
You let him.
You're just a hater.
Derby, did you watch the Kentucky Derby? The Kentucky Derby?
I did not.
No, neither
did
I.
But I did see the final picture of it, and it was a nail biter.
It was. And I saw it, and I immediately thought, man, we missed the boat on doing this segment called the Kentucky Derby. Yeah. But that's all right. We have plenty to talk about in the sports that matter. Guys, the big story this week, of course, is the Paul Skeens being brought up to the Pirates this coming weekend. Guys, I'm concerned for a couple of reasons, and none for the reasons that people would think. I'm not concerned about his arm. I think he's going to be just fine. I think when you get these freak of nature athletes, they make that transition just fine. Mm-hmm. My concern is if this guy comes up and throws a gem, that the bats won't show up in, you know, it'll show up in the... on the front page of the paper that the Buccas lose the first game that Paul Skeens pitches. That's my concern, is the offense. That's the thing I'm worried about most about Paul Skeens, is our offense.
Yeah, same here. You know, we see Jared Jones pitch a gem. He gets no help. He has, you know, do it all by himself. Same thing. Mitch Keller has to do everything all by himself. Now you get, you know, the most talked about rookie in baseball since what, maybe Strasburg. And in Pirates since Garrett Cole, you know, let's get some run support for him, you know, but it doesn't look like that's going to materialize the way the offense has been going recently.
It's really worrisome. And the thing is, it's been such a long slump. And that's one thing that you gotta be concerned about with this Pirates team, because baseball season is how long, Derpy?
162.
And in 162, there's a lot of ups. There's a lot of downs. It's a roller coaster. It's six hot months of baseball. You got guys cooling down, guys, you know, heating up. But it's really got to be concerning since their 9-2 start, which was, you know, pretty hot, that they really have been bad. And here we are. It's May 9th. So, I mean, for a month, these bats have been cold. I don't understand how a team can collectively get bad, that bad at hitting – for such a long period of time.
Yeah, we're now averaging 3.5 runs per game. Only St. Louis and the White Sox have a worse, you know, average than we do. And, you know, just about like a month ago, we were one of the better teams in the league, you know, in offense. You know, we've lost like a whole run, almost a whole run in a month's time. So, this team, man, they are struggling offensively. I don't get it. Actually, we've lost over 2.5 runs per game since the start of the season. And, you know, the pitching has been there for the most part. It's been there. And it's just this offense. And now you get your prized rookie coming up. You know, pressure's already on. You're making your major league debut. You have high expectations already by the way you pitched in college and the way you're pitching now. Now the pressure's going to be even more pressure on you to more or less pitch a shutout to give your team a chance to win. Like, that's a lot of pressure for someone coming up, making their start, but he looks like the guy who has the personality and the mentality where it's just going to be like, okay, I'm just going to go out there and do my thing and not let it bother me. But my God, like, how much more pressure can you put on a kid making his debut?
See, I think that I agree with something you just said about 20 seconds ago. I do think that he's going to be okay. I think his mentality is okay. Again, you see a lot of these freak of nature athletes, they do just fine. And I think he falls in that category. Again, I think that the pressure comes down to these bats on offense, Mike. That's where the pressure's at. I don't think that it should be felt by Paul Skeens. I think it really should be felt by this offense, and they should really feel pressured to get better.
They should, because my God, you know, you're going out there, you're watching right now your top two pitchers throw gems, and you know, you're just doing nothing at the plate. You should, you know, they should be feeling the pressure. This pitching staff is pitching at least the past couple games have been pitching at a, you know, a playoff level, and now you get another guy in that's been pitching lights out all year. Actually, you know, for the past, you know, what, 2-3 years, you count college, he's pitching lights out. So do something on offense. And you know what, Brian, I think you're right. You know, we haven't mentioned Livy Dunn yet, but maybe her coming to the stadium, these guys on offense will show out to try and steal Paul Skeens' girl.
I'm already over this Livy Dunn thing. I gotta tell you this. Taylor Swift really left a bad taste in my mouth. And we have Sierra now also with this, you know, with the Russell Wilson. I just don't know how much I could take. But anyway, let's talk baseball here, guys. The Pirates.
Normally, you're all about the hotties, but not now.
Well, this show is not about smut, Mike. There's no smut on this channel.
I'm going to replay 2 days ago what you were saying, sir.
I've got to claim ignorance. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, that was other Ryan. That was uncaffeinated Ryan. Okay.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah.
But this Pittsburgh Pirates team, they dropped another series after it appeared that they were starting to get on a little bit of a roll. They went three games straight. All right, maybe, just maybe, we're turning things around. Yeah. They let up. They lose a game that they should have won yesterday. They lose 5-4 to the Angels to take an L in the series. Two games to one in favor of the Angels. Pirates, they do drop to 17-21 after this game. Mike, they still had hitting issues, and no surprise, of the six hits that the Pirates did have, Connor Joe had two of them. Connor Joe, I mean, come on, say what you will. This guy has been the only guy that's consistently produced all season long.
Which, great for him. You know, I'm happy for him. But my God, if we're pinning our offensive hopes on Connor Joe,
which I don't mind if other people would participate.
Exactly. If he's batting what he's doing now, this is a bonus. This is like, oh my God, this is a luxury. Now he's the cornerstone of the offense. It's not looking good, boys.
Angels, they are 14-23 after their season with the series with the Pirates. Guys, the division breaks down like this. Luckily, everyone in our division tends to lose when we lose, and not as much, but it happens. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs, who's coming to town next tomorrow night, they are tied in first place. The Pirates and the Reds, still, as the last time we talked, they are tied in second place, both five games out, and by percentage points, the Pirates do possess that that spot. In the Cardinals, as much as we love it as a Pirates fans, these Cardinals team, like, they're sitting six games out in the basement. They don't look like they're going to get any better. No. But lucky for us, they're down there.
Yeah. But, you know, as the season goes on, it's looking like we might be joining them down in the basement. I hope it doesn't come to that, because, my God, like, this was like the perfect time for the Pirates to gain ground. Like you said, everyone in our division's been losing. We had that nice little win streak. Looked like we were going to carry it on. It's just, this didn't happen. And this division is up for grabs, even though we are only five back. We see how tight this division gets down the stretch. It's just, if the offense could hit the freaking ball, we would be in first.
Why would they be able to do that? They're only professional baseball.
I know, right? Yeah.
Today, guys. The Pirates are off today. They do start a three-game series against the Cubs over the weekend. Game one is 6:40 tomorrow and Friday. Game two of three is Saturday, which is the most highly anticipated game. For most Pirate fans, of course, because Paul Skeens will be making his debut. We finish up the series on Sunday, then we're off to Milwaukee. So you got back-to-back division series here against the two teams that are sitting in first place, the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs. If you're going to make up any ground, if you're going to have a time to turn things around, a time to bring in a Paul Skeens and have back-to-back starts with Skeens and Jared Jones. And just maybe the offense could participate in one of these games and put up a few runs. Mm-hmm. We do have an opportunity. And, you know, I feel that this is a dead horse that we're beating, but that's what it is right now. If you win a couple games over these teams, you're going to gain ground. You gain a game every game you win against these two teams ahead of us at the time. And as I said, over the next, you know, 7 days, Mike, the Pirates could put themselves in a decent position in this in this division.
Yeah, and my God, they could, you know, you sweep the Cubs or win, you know, two out of the three. I put you in a nice spot because then, like you said, we got Milwaukee up next. Steal, you know, two games against them. Get you in a nice little spot. And you would think, you would hope that calling up your best prospect, your best pitching prospect, is that going to have any effect on the offense? Are they going to get excited now? Like, hey, we got a reinforcement coming in. Our pitching staff being bolstered. Hey, on offense, guys, we need to step it up. We need to support our pitching staff that's carrying the team right now. Like, you would think in most organizations, most sports, you get that guy coming in that has all that promise, all the potential. That usually motivates everyone else to play
That's the only thing we can hope for.
We're going to see what this team is made of by this.
That's the only thing that you could hope for at this point is this motivates these guys, and miraculously, they can start hitting curveballs.
Yeah. Are they just going to be jaded and be like, oh, it's another guy? No, he's a rookie, blah, blah, blah.
We have a team full of Pedro Serranos, Mike. Yeah. Everybody on the team. If you pitched all fastballs as they did in spring training for the most part, this team would be red hot, and they showed that. But guess what? You get into the majors, that's a big difference. You get into regular season, that's a big difference. It's curveball, it's cutter, it's slider, it's fastball. There's changing speeds constantly, and you know, and that's very, very difficult to do. That's why a lot of guys don't make it in professional baseball. There could be career guys, career minor league guys that, you know, that just goes to show you that when you say a term like career minor leaguers, you know, that means everything they did for their whole career wasn't good enough to get to that next level, because that next level is that much more difficult.
Yeah.
And these guys, that they have to figure it out. Mike, they got to figure it out. You don't want to bring up Paul Skeens and have this season go to waste. You have Jared Jones, who, as you mentioned in his last start, he threw a gem. He threw seven innings, one hit. And then Mitch Keller also, he threw a complete game, one hitter. And now you add Paul Skeens to the mix, as Brian is asking on the board, who's going to be the fifth starter out, or the, you know, the odd man out. I think that, you know, obviously you have your top three of Keller, Skeens, Jones. I don't think that they're going to take Bailey Falter out of the lineup at this point, especially with all three of those guys being right-handers. I think Bailey Falter stays. And I also believe that Perez, maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to find.
Is he the healthy Mexican? Is it Perez or is it Gonzalez?
Gonzalez is the one who is out.
Right? Okay, yeah. So Perez, Falter, Skeens, Jones, and Keller is going to be your rotation. I think that Quinn Priester should be thrown the hell out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
he sucks. I do want to say good morning to Ralph on the board as well as Brian. But, you know, Quinn Priester, I expected to see a major improvement from him last year. What you're seeing this year so far from Quinn Priester is very similar to his performance last year. I don't see much improvement. And, you know, again, he's let up 6 home runs in his 4 appearances. He let up 12 home runs last year in a short amount of time. Quinn Priester, in my opinion, is gone. As Ralph just said on the board, I agree with you 100%, Ralph. There's no place for him in this rotation. Here is my rotation as of right now: Mitch Keller, Jared Jones, Paul Skeens, Bailey Falter, and Perez. That is my 5.
Yeah, so we will
see. I mean, that's a good rotation, guys.
Yeah, just going by what I'm finding on MLB.com and the Pirates roster, it's, you know, showing Priester in the bullpen, only showing like 4 starters because Gonzalez is on the IR. So it seems like that 5th spot's going to be up for grabs. Whoever the Pirates are going to roll out there. Actually, no, that would put Skeens in there. Sorry, yeah, that would put Keller, Perez, Jones, Falter, and Skeens. Yeah, my bad. It hasn't been updated yet. And I don't know who's been moved off the roster and set down to make room for Skeens. It's really, I can't find like the transaction list. So I don't know who was all moved.
Yeah.
And I saw there was activity of like some players were moved up and down. Yesterday,
I'm going to tell you one thing. They had to take Quinn Priester.
Yeah.
You ever see the movie Full Metal Jacket? when the one dude gets caught with Jeez. The donuts, and they all beat the crap out of him with soap. They put soap inside his socks.
Yeah,
I think that's what they had to do to Quinn Priester. Everybody on the team had to beat the crap out of him with that. Soap filled socks.
Yeah, you know, take him out back, beat him with a rubber hose, something yeah. to you know. Actually, if they do that to him, they're going to have to do that to the entire offense as well.
Yeah,
you know. Connor Joe gets beat everyone up on the team.
Right.
He's the only one doing anything. Like, my God, like Big Stacks has 17 ribbies. You know, the league leaders are up in like the high 30s. This is not looking good on this offense.
I mean, you're a sixth, you know, 1/6 of the way through. There's more than that. Now, I mean, we're well into May. You've already knocked out the last few days of March, all of April. Mm. We're a week here into May. So, I mean, this is a big chunk. That's a big chunk of the baseball season, guys. I mean, there still is a long way to go. But as other teams continue to win and do well and put themselves in a position, we continue to do the opposite. We continue to lose. We continue to give up late runs. We continue to lose close games. We continue to not be able to hit the ball. I mean, there's a lot that this team needs to do.
Yeah.
A lot that this team needs to do. And hopefully it can start this weekend, guys. As I said, this is division play. You have the Cubs and then the Brewers. You got to take advantage of the Cubs at home. You got to go over to Milwaukee. They split with them here, 2 games apiece. Go over there, hopefully win that series, be able to pick up a game. It's wild because we never get two things that match in Pittsburgh.
No.
You can have really good hitting, but you don't got pitching.
Yep.
You can have really good pitching, then you don't have hitting. It never fails with this team. I don't know why we try. But it is our team here, and, you know, it be what it be.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's pirate baseball is what it is, my God.
Yeah.
It's...
How about we jump over to football? You want to talk about football?
I want to talk about football.
Therapy, you want to do football?
Football, yes, sir.
All right, NFL, the schedule will be released on Wednesday. Now it got pushed back a week. On Wednesday, May 15th, next week, Wednesday, 8:00 p.m. on the NFL Network, you will be able to see your favorite team's schedules released. They will be officially released next Wednesday, May 15th, 8:00 p.m. on NFL Network. I'm chomping at the bit. I can't wait to get a look at this schedule, see who we start up against, see when the important games are. You got Dallas this year. You got Philadelphia. You got Kansas City. I mean, there's a bunch of good games. As I stated in an earlier show, we do have, with two teams in our division, the three toughest schedules in the league. So I can't wait to take a look at that.
It's only natural. You know, we finished third in our division, have the toughest schedule in the entire NFL.
Yeah, right. But you know what? I feel confident, Mike, because we are the new 2024 Atlanta Falcons. Yes, we are the Falcons. Our new offensive coordinator, of course, the head coach down there, Arthur Smith. We also bring in Cordell Patterson, Michael Pruitt, Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller. So we are sure lucky that that Atlanta Falcons team was really good last year, because we're mirroring that Atlanta Falcons team.
I love it. I love it. Let's just get a bunch of guys and see what happens.
We couldn't steal, you know, guys from a good team. It's got to be the – I mean, you figure that's the worst division in football.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that team didn't win the division, if I'm remembering right.
No.
I don't remember who won that. It's so non-memorable.
Yeah. Like Van Jefferson's best year came back in 2021. Hasn't come close to that since. Scotty Miller has, like, terrible numbers. Now, I'm loving it. I am loving what we're doing on the weapons-wise right here.
Well, let me break this down for you guys. Let me see where I have it in my notes. I don't know what I did with him. Give me a sec.
Pruitt has 12 career touchdowns. You know, they've all come in the latter half of his career. been in the league since 2015, but, you know, nothing special.
Here it is. Arthur Smith, guys, I got some numbers. In his offense that he ran in Atlanta, he ran a three receiver set, only 17% of the snaps. 17% of the snaps, he had three receivers, which was the lowest in the NFL, the lowest. Also, he doesn't utilize his second receiver much either. The leading receiver last year for the Falcons, his last name was London.
Drake London, yeah.
He had 69 catches for 905 yards. So if people were expecting us to come out firing off on all cylinders, it's very interesting, and I'm very interested to see how this team is moving forward and what it is that they could do to change and separate themselves what they've done last year with the new offensive coordinator, with new players. Are we going to get more of the same results?
Yeah.
And also, Mike, in a passing league, as we mentioned over and over, we are going the opposite way with creating a run-first offense.
Yeah. And that's like, that's an organizational philosophy too. Like they said, you know, from owner on down, they want to build a running team, a run first team, a heavy offensive line team. They think they're getting ahead of the pendulum swing. Cause you know, you see that in sports, you one extreme to the next, but there has to be a middle ground. And I think that's where the Steelers need to be, is that middle ground. I think we're swinging too far to be in a run oriented team. Like, you have one legit NFL receiver on this team. You have one legit tight end on this team. And you got, what, two legit NFL running backs. I like moves Omar Khan's doing, but, like, this move on offense of only having one receiver and a bunch of guys, I don't like. It makes – that's why that trade of Deontay is a head-scratcher to me. You know, you knew what you were going to get out of him. You knew you were going to get about 800 to 900 yards a season out of him. These other guys, you might be lucky to get 600-700 yards out of them all total. I just don't get the I don't get the thought process.
Mike, also, according to the CBS listings of the quarterbacks in the NFL, they give you 1 through 32, and what, you know, they believe is going to be the best, the worst, et cetera, et cetera. They have Russell Wilson ranked 19. So, with that being said, just this time last year, I think Kenny was, you know, somewhere in the 20s there. So, you just start kind of piecing things together. Your quarterback's 19 out of 32. You're going backwards as far as the philosophy in the NFL goes. But, it's going to be interesting. Yeah. I mean, I have high hopes. Don't get me wrong. I'm optimistic on how the season's going to go.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very peculiar. As of right now, it looks like it's going to be a very peculiar type season.
Yeah. And, like, those quarterback rankings, those things are very subjective. Because you see, like, rookies.
Right. Like, I'm Russell just going Wilson by what we have. Like, you know, of course. I mean,
yeah. He was ninth last year in touchdowns, you know. So, and 19th in yardage, and they benched him the last two games. So those numbers would have only been better. So to me, it's a head scratcher. I know, like, that first year in Denver and his last year in Seattle weren't the greatest years, but last year was like a rebound year for him. So I don't get the hate for Russell Wilson. I know he's a goofy guy.
His treatment of teammates were
weird, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the saying he's not still an effective quarterback is crazy to me, because we saw he wasn't the problem in Denver last year.
Right.
And he's a market improvement on the quarterback room we had last year. You want to talk about hodgepodge of nothingness? That's what we had in that quarterback room last year. At least we got, you know, Wilson, who's still I think, in my subjective list, is a top 15 quarterback in this league. Now, when I say top 15, I mean like 15, 16, 14 in that range.
Well, I mean, 19 isn't that far off, Mike. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, 19 sounds bad. But he's still in that ballpark, you know?
Yeah, and there's, like, a lot of guys clumped in that tier that, you know, any given week they can.
And I think the reason he loses ground is because of his age. He's a little bit older now. These guys are younger quarterbacks. They're very talented. And you've seen a bit of a fall off. It's almost like, did he peak too early? Did Russell Wilson, you know, is the best behind him, I think, is the concern mostly.
He's 35 years old, but I think he still has it up here. And you know, he was still able to move around the pocket last year, still able to throw a great deep ball last year. So we'll see. Like, it's just concerning that we don't have a true number one receiver. You know, I think we have a number two in George and a bunch of like a three in Wilson and then a bunch of four, five, six, seventh, eighth receivers.
And as you mentioned, I don't think a lot of these guys are going to be on the team.
Like Scotty Miller's not going to be on the team.
Scotty Miller, he's going to be your Armon Watts.
Your LaRaven Clark type.
Your LaRaven Clark. All these guys last year they brought in and didn't even make it to the second week of spring. I mean, that's what these guys are.
Yeah.
And, we do have a caller, Mike. I want to take this call. This is Ralph Williams. Ralph, you're on, man.
Hey, what's happening, guys? How are you?
Good, my brother. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing real good. I didn't know I could come in on this, so I finally figured it out, and here we are. So.
Welcome. Welcome, my friend. Glad to hear from you. Of course. What do you think about this situation the Steelers got going, man? Are we the 2024 Atlanta Falcons, or what's going on, man?
Well, I agree with you on that, but we dropped the ball on Tyler Boyd. We dropped the ball on Odell Beckham. We had opportunities galore to bring receivers in here. Mike Williams went bye-byes. The Steelers just, for some strange reason, dropped the ball in the wide receiver position. They were focused on, other things. And, now you have the situation you have, and I keep seeing and hearing about these rumors that Omar Khan's got something up his sleeve before training camp starts. So we're going to find out what happens here. Maybe he does. I don't know.
Yeah, you're hearing a lot of rumors like after June 2nd when like the cap hits for cuts and trades lessen for like a trade. You keep hearing DK Metcalf and a lot of the signs are like if you look at salary cap issues that Seattle's having, like him being moved after June 2nd would free up a lot of cap space for them. Is there a trade going there? That's like
the big rumor. I keep hearing right Najee Harris's name coming up, Mike. I keep on hearing, his name coming up in Dallas, the Metcalf thing I'm hearing now as well. So, there's some, we'll see what happens after June 2nd, if anything's going to happen.
Yeah, that's when it would be. And it wouldn't be surprised too, like even halfway through training camp or the end of training camp, we finally get a guy after a late cut somewhere.
That's the big concern for me. The big concern, guys, is Ralph nailed it right on the head. You wouldn't think by the way that Omar Khan has handled putting this team together over the past couple seasons that he would leave a number two wide receiver position wide open with nothing, no plans. It doesn't add up. Is the only reason that I think that there is something up his sleeve. That is the only reason that I think that he's going to do something, guys. We can't go into the season without two receivers, right?
We can't go into the season like this, Ryan, because Russell Wilson needs somebody to throw to other than running it himself and Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. We'll see if Firemuth stays healthy. Maybe the tight end's something they have in mind. I don't know, but they have to do something. Oh, by the way, they just invited Phil Dracovic to come for rookie camp this weekend. So there you go, guys.
That's the answer right there.
Yeah, but hey, he was the fastest quarterback, Ralph. Is that not true at the combine?
No, that was Keaton Slovis.
That's
Slovis.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But I don't know. Unless they're counting on Roman Wilson to come in and be an outside number two receiver right away.
I mean, is that a possibility? Is this kid got it? I mean, like, can he play the outside receiver in the pros?
I think he can play inside and out. You know, he is what. 5'10", 5'11", that's not going to limit his ability on the outside, So he has the ability, he has the want. He is just, we've seen a lot of guys like that have that ability and the want and desire in college. Is it going to carry through in the pros? Right.
Well, they had opportunities too, guys, in the draft. Mm-hmm. There were some tall wide receivers available. They never bothered to even draft them. I thought at least they would try to draft two wide receivers. They only drafted one.
Yeah, I thought at least somewhere in the later rounds they would have picked someone else up. But kind of like, what Brendan Rice, he would have been a nice prospect, not just because that's Jerry Rice's kid, but I think he's going to be a productive receiver in the NFL, not a standout, but at least a serviceable number three in the league. And I think he would have been a good addition to the roster.
I wanted them to take McCaffrey's brother. McCaffrey's brother.
Yes,
Luke. He was gone too before the Steelers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he felt he went once he started to fall. I think the team's like panic and hurry up and grabbed him. I just wasn't a big fan of McCaffrey, brother.
It's going to be interesting, guys, as teams are continuing to build their offense in this pass-heavy league. We continue now. I mean, not continue, but we started a whole new trend. Maybe, Mike, as you said, maybe we are jumping the gun and we're going to be ahead of the curve with this style offense. But it's going to be interesting, man.
Unless they're hoping, like, you know, team, you know, they can, with that big physical offensive line, pound teams, that forces them to bring down into the box, then open up the passing game that way. But again, you know, are these receivers going to be able to get open? Are they going to have to be schemed open? Can they get open on their own through their route running ability? I just don't see it with some of these guys, especially with Pickens. He's not a great route runner, not a great separator at times. So we'll see.
So as Willie Colon, he comes out on a podcast this week, and he makes a couple observations and talks about a couple facts about Mike Tomlin. Now, this all plays together if you're wondering where I'm going. You know, he points out that Tomlin's been here. We have 17 seasons of non-losing regular season football. Only four of those seasons included playoff wins. Four out of 17. We got to do something. If this this is the answer. Maybe what we're doing is the answer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the answer. But at the end of the day, when you think of that, guys, 17 seasons that he has not went, we finished 500 or better, only four seasons that he managed to win any playoff games. That, guys, that's mind-blowing to me. That's just something that we were never used to. Yeah. Maybe in the 80s we could say that we were, but yeah, in modern Steeler history, this is unheard of.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, a flip side to that is Mike Tomlin's going to guarantee you 8 to 9 wins a year. And on that, after that, that's what? On the players.
Does
that's
that
on
even
the players
matter
at that point?
Well, no, it's
not. I'm just saying that's another argument that can be made. Like,
but
you
all
know,
of
Mike
his
Tomlin,
players over the years obviously were the ones that accomplished those records of 500 or better. It wasn't Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin took Duck Hodges over
to the players and not Mike Tomlin when you get
Tomlin
to the playoffs.
Tomlin took Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, and the hodgepodge of nothingness the past few years and turned those into teams. You know, he took that horrible quarterback room last year to the playoffs. You know,
well, you could die on that hill. I think
I'm not
people,
dying on it. I'm just throwing out, you know,
people,
me, devil's advocate.
Well, I know, and I know that's why what you're
doing.
Yeah,
no, I'm just
putting
it out there. Like, that's, you know.
But
like,
Mike, when you seriously look at these numbers,
yeah, you got
17 seasons,
yeah,
having 500 or better, which is unbelievable. You tell somebody that, you're automatically in a conversation talking about the Hall of Fame. But when you finish the sentence, and only four of those seasons, 13 of 17, they were unable to win a playoff game.
You know what? It is frustrating, Ryan, and I do agree with you on this. But, you know, I've said this many times, Ryan, on my show, and you know it. I've said that Mike Tomlin will never win a Super Bowl again, okay? And this – and I found out from a couple good sources of mine. You know, I have a few. Yeah,
absolutely.
They said that this is the last extension for Tomlin. So – we'll this see. Is the last extension.
Because he hasn't signed one yet, has he? He still hasn't been extended yet.
But if there is going to be another one, this will be the last one.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think that this guy's going to be here as long as he wants to until something really, really bad happens and things just start to go downhill. How can you fire a guy that's never had a losing season? At the end of the day, how can you fire a guy that hasn't had a losing season, and he's all, you could always go back to that you know, his Super Bowl. People can argue it was his players, it wasn't his players, whatever it is. The fact of the matter is, the guy won a Super Bowl. The guy has never had a losing season. I don't see the Pittsburgh upper management, front office, Rooney's. I don't see them firing a guy like that.
Like, well, with Rooney too, like, all of a sudden this year he's like, oh, now everything's unacceptable. Like, where was this temperament years ago?
Yeah.
And where was this impetus of, like, let's modernize our front office? Why did it take so long? Why did it take until we hired Omar Khan and Andy Weidel for there to be a change in the front office? You had Kevin Colbert, who was supposedly the greatest GM of all time. If you asked Steelers stooge media and, you know, Steeler fans that this guy was the greatest GM of all time, why didn't he put better rosters together? Why did it take him forever? Why did he, you know, the change in philosophy of drafting better, being aggressive in free agency. Why is it just now? Like, what was the impetus for Rooney to finally wake up? I just don't understand it.
Well, you know what, Mike? He came under a lot of pressure over the last 3 or 4 years by the minority ownership. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. The Rooneys and the Steelers never want to be wrong. Okay, that's the whole problem.
Yep.
All right. And they and Art Rooney II hired Mike Tomlin when he first took over the team and then ran out Bill Cowher. I mean, all, you could say whatever you want. I know Bill Cowher's wife was sick, and he had to step away for that. But there's a second part to this. Him and Art II were not getting along ever. And when Art II took over, he said, and I quote, "I will bring in another coach." And that's exactly what he did. And he ran out Bill Cowher. So that's fine. But now he has to eat this.
We're losing Ralph a little bit there.
Yeah, we're losing you there, Ralph. You're breaking up.
If Mike can at least get him a Super Bowl. He got his dad a Super Bowl. Okay, because
also, guys, I
remember Dan Rooney was still part of the whole equation when it. And if Art doesn't get one with this coach, all right. Well, you know what? I'm going to go, guys. So I'll talk with you. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for your call, Ralph. Yeah. Always great to hear
from you,
sir. You're
breaking up there at the end. Sorry about that. But no, like, you know, and that's the other thing, too. Like, you know, Dan Rooney was the Steelers for the longest time. He was the one who wasn't afraid to make moves and stuff. And it seemed like his son became so complacent. And it's like he's finally now waking up. Like, you know, I need to do things like my dad did. You know?
Like, let me tell you this. Can I tell you this?
Yeah.
It's been 15 years since we won a Super Bowl, okay?
Yeah.
Which, okay, that, whatever, that's fine. But that means 15 years ago was three playoff wins of the 8-10 playoff record that he has.
Yeah.
Three of them come from that one season 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and then people would always argue. And again, I'm not starting this Cowher Tomlin debate. I'm just mentioning something. If the guy that has this record, 17 seasons, it's always been over 500, and you want to get away from that, you won your only Super Bowl with Bill Cowher's team. Maybe he would have gotten close at some point between then and now, the last 15 years. And again, we could go into
we got close to the GMs. With the Packers Super Bowl we got.
Well, it was only two years after the Super Bowl that we won, but in the big picture, so that's 13 seasons. Okay, let's call it 13, Mike, instead of 15. It really no big difference.
No.
The point of the matter being, it never got better to the point where you could have said, wow, look at the great job he's really done in turning this around, getting the guys motivated to make another run at a championship. He basically took what was everything at the back end of that former coach, won a Super Bowl right off the bat. And you would have thought at that point, wow, this guy's such a great coach. We're going to see more of this through his tenure, which in fact we haven't. We have seen a guy that's never gone more than has never lost more than a half his games, which is a fantastic thing. Don't get me wrong. It is a great feat. Nobody else has done that, but he has to cement himself in the books and the record books by winning in the games that matter. Because if you don't win in the games that matter, all those games in regular season that you won don't matter.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's just say, let's like reverse his career. Let's just say, you know, he had no losing records, but has never won a Super Bowl, never won a Super Bowl, never won a Super Bowl, then finally breaks through this year and would have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Would that change people's opinions on him?
Absolutely.
So by winning early, you set yourself up for backlash late, whereas you fail early.
Even if he wins Super Bowl number two, I think that even makes a difference.
Because that's like how Cowher, he was, you know, failure, 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 one, then gone, and a legend Tomlin wins and has.
That's what I'm saying. It makes a difference.
Like Cowher. It'll
make a difference if it was later, because you can say this. As your career progresses, you're still able to manage to win championships. That's why I say it makes a difference. If he wins one now, people, you can't say he never won with a team that he built or a team that was built for him, or, you know, people, you could throw that out the window, which is what you're going to get a lot of, you know, arguments from. He needs to get a late championship, Mike, to cement himself as a great coach in this league.
Well, that team that he took to the Super Bowl, the team that he took over for lost the year before, had a complete meltdown, couldn't recapture of that because, you know, they won the Super Bowl, had a losing record. He took over for a team that had a losing record that, you know, I think people kind of forget that that team wasn't a juggernaut. They were kind of lucky to win that first Super Bowl. We saw they struggled against that Super Bowl.
The Patriots struggled to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. They only scored 13 points.
But you can really say that about anybody,
Mike.
That Patriots team went on to be one of the greatest dynasties in sports.
And I can continue with more teams that really had uncharacteristic Super Bowls.
Yeah, oh yeah. But no, I'm just saying, let's put that in context. See, I'm not taking anything away from that Super Bowl team. That was a damn good team. They just had a bad Super Bowl. Then that year they had a letdown that following year.
That team, 05 through 11, won the three Super Bowls. Yeah. It was basically the same group of guys. And it was a very good team, no matter which way you slice it. Take Willie Parker, you take Bettis out, you add Parker, you plug this guy, and you take this. That's that locker room. It's the same group of guys.
Yeah, that's that team that cemented Kevin Colbert as the greatest GM ever in Yinzer fans' eyes was that window right there when he didn't miss.
Mike, let me break this to you. Hall of Fame. I have something super for you that I think you're going to love.
God.
Go off of what you just said. The fans are going to love. Mike, let me tell you. Did you know that the most of the Steeler fans in the world, 2/3 of the Steeler fans are outside of Pennsylvania? Mike, this is a statistic that's known. 2/3 of all Steeler fans are outside of Pennsylvania. That's how popular this is. Mike, that is the most in the NFL. Nobody has a fan base like that. Not the Cowboys, not the Patriots, not anybody. Mike, 2/3 of the Steeler nation is outside of Pennsylvania.
That it does not surprise me at all. The collapse of the steel mill, everyone migrated and then they stayed Steeler fans, man. And then they raised their kids Steeler fans. And you know, we've just invaded all of North America and the entire world.
Remember when we were in LA? I mean, when you see us take over a stadium in Arizona, it's impressive. But you know what? It's Arizona. Yeah. When we took over the stadium in LA, that, my friend, is impressive. You're talking big city, you know, once you start talking New York, Chicago, LA, to see that stadium taken over by Steeler fans was so much fun. Yeah. But yes, guys, if anybody talks trash about your Steelers and you ain't won a Super Bowl and all your success was in the 70s, it's all a bunch of bullshit. Yeah. Listen, 2/3 of Steeler Nation is outside of Pennsylvania. Yeah. And I got to tell you, Pittsburgh got a lot of Steeler fans. Yeah. Pennsylvania got a lot. That just goes to show you guys.
When you say Steeler, you know, people making fun of Steelers, oh, we haven't won a Super Bowl in forever. It's always from organizations that have never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. The Browns tell us this all the time.
Like you guys were like the Tomlin window that we were just bitching about would be the greatest run in some of your franchise's history.
You don't hear the 49ers fans saying that. No. You don't hear the Cowboys fans saying that. You don't hear the Packers or the Patriots fans saying that. It's all these teams
that have never won.
Right.
That have never won.
Derpy, is that true? Does that sound right to you, Derpy?
Yeah.
You couldn't be more correct, Mike. I've never heard anybody that was a fan of a really good team say that. Maybe when we were trading blows back and forth with the Patriots fans.
Yeah, you want to talk shit? You know. Yeah, because they had the recent success. We had quasi and a bunch. But you hear the Browns say, you've won nothing. The Houston Oilers have won the AFC North more recent than you have. Yeah. So shut your mouth. The Bengals, you've been to 2 Super Bowls.
3.
Well, 3. Yeah, this is how unforgettable of a franchise you are. Chicago Bears, what have you done? You have 1 Super Bowl. The Jets, you have 1 Super Bowl way late. You know, you guys have won nothing, and you guys would salivate at the chance to have Mike Tomlin's coaching window, Bill Cowher's coaching window. You guys would kill to have the window that we've had. Hell, you would kill to have the Steelers 1980s, window.
Mike, but we can't go on talking about the Steelers today without mentioning what happened yesterday in one of the bigger stories in the country, in the world, maybe. During the Donald Trump trial, Stormy Daniels, the former porn star, had a little bit to say about Big Ben. She apparently went on to say that when she was, meeting up with Donald, she met Roethlisberger. Donald introduced him as Big Ben. She testified that she got to try on his ring. She said she got two fingers in, which I thought was interesting. And
he has big hands.
And Big Ben. But the thing is, that's funny to me is, you know, of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of professional athletes that's came and gone through the history of time, the one that comes out in this, the name that comes out in this particular, you know, this thing that can be very embarrassing, of course, would be Big Ben Roethlisberger, our quarterback. What do you think, Mike?
That was during Big Ben's
his wild years.
His, as someone once said it to me, his throwing picks, raping chicks era. Yeah, allegedly. Right. Allegedly. That was, you know, that's his criminal era. Oh my God, right. I feel dirty saying this and giggling. Well,
he, and but, he was riding the motorcycles and wrecking.
That
and
era, Ben, that tracks for him. Okay.
But you know, the guy was in his early 20s. You know, who in her early 20s had it all together? I mean, come on. You know,
Sidney Crosby, Mary Lemieux, that's about it.
Yeah, but
LeBron, he stayed out of trouble. That's about it. Those are the three off the top of my head.
Of course, Ralph on the board. Absolutely, yes, my man. Yeah. Thank you for the call.
That was nice.
Always no, good hearing from you.
But no, yeah, that tracks for that era of Big Ben, the scummy Ben.
The scummy Ben. Guys,
before his wife got married and said, "Listen here, motherfucker."
Now, Ralph did make a great point. Tyler Boyd ends up going to the Titans. Listen, and he didn't really get much money. You know, if he was looking for big money, which makes me think it was something different. I don't know what it was. I don't have an answer. I don't have an explanation. But I think that there was a little bit more than what we were being told because he goes to Tennessee, a team that again didn't pay him a lot of money to go there, but he does now. He teams up with Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins, guys. That's a pretty nice 1-2-3 punch in Tennessee and gives Will Levis and maybe even Mason Rudolph, you know, very, very, very good selection of receivers, Mike.
Yeah, and they also have former first-round pick Treylon Burks. He's another name I've been reading and hearing that, look, he might be a receiver the Steelers can target. Get cheap, former first-round pick, has been somewhat productive. I wouldn't be opposed, you know, if they willing to trade him for a low level draft pick, bring him on to see if he has anything. I would not be opposed to that, but you know, are they willing to make a deal? Are they wanting to run four deep in their rotate receivers out? Cause you know, some of those receivers are getting older.
Why couldn't we take a page out of Arthur Smith's Tennessee Titan book instead of his Atlanta Falcons book?
Yes, that's what I – if we can
I get, want Tennessee Titan Arthur Smith.
Those offenses, they were good. They were like top 10, top 15 in scoring. Those were good offenses. I would take that. Give me that.
Mike, we do have to move on. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they lose their first-round pick. Yeah. Number 14th overall goes to San Jose per the Erik Karlsson trade conditions. However – the Penguins still do have a chance to get a first round pick if the Carolina Hurricanes make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, which I mean this team's as good as anybody else that are still in it. If the Carolina Hurricanes make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, the Penguins will get a first round pick. If not, they will not.
I don't think Carolina's going to make it. That East Division is so tough, but it would be nice. Would be nice if they can eke through. We can at least get, you know, a late round pick.
Who are they? I mean, there's Boston, there's New York, there's Florida, and there is Carolina. I mean, that's a great four teams.
Yeah. It's tough.
It'll be tough. It'll be tough.
And I think they're trailing in there. Yeah, they're down 2-0 against the Rangers. And it's looking like the Rangers might be, might put the nail in the coffin tonight.
Well, they're coming up on 30 years. Would they win it in 93, 94?
Something like that, yeah. And they had to buy a championship. They had to buy Messier, Gretzky. They had to buy a championship.
That team was a lot of fun to watch. Anyway, you slice it, Mike, and I agree. Don't get me wrong. But
I hated that
Rangers squad, but they were tough. No choice about it.
I'm getting ready to go off on Mark Messier. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's do that, please. Mike, also – here's one for you. In college football, four FBS teams took zero had zero incoming transfers.
Hmm.
You want to hear who they are?
Yeah.
Four FBS teams has zero transfers incoming. One was Army. Two was Navy.
Makes sense.
Three was Air Force.
Makes sense.
And four was Clemson.
Ooh.
Make really? That make sense. Yes.
Really?
Yes, 100% true. Those four teams had no incoming transfers. Army, Navy, Air Force, and Clemson. What do you make of that?
That's wild. Like, huh. Like, Clemson's still not a bad program.
No, Clemson's a top program, especially in the conference. And
huh.
You know, they're just a couple seasons removed from championships. And
that's wild. I thought you were gonna say Colorado.
Right. Which would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, you know, but Clemson.
Yeah.
That's a shocker. Like, the other three make perfect sense.
I mean, you're just three seasons removed from Trevor Lawrence, and he took the team to back to back championship games. You know, this team is not a bad college at all. I mean, it's considered a top college, especially in football.
That is wild.
I don't even know what to make of that. I don't even know what to make.
To me, that is a head scratcher.
Speaking of some interesting college news and notes, Mike, over the past week, the Pitt Panthers baseball team, in one game they scored 22 runs, and in another game they scored 23 runs. 22 runs and 23 runs. That's the baseball team.
Can we have them come instruct the pros how to see the ball hit the ball?
Right.
See the ball hit the ball.
Take a ride over to Oakland, grab them guys. Leave the guys that's from the North Shore over in Oakland, and we'll bring the guys that can put up 45 runs.
It might be better. It might not be much better, but my God.
45 runs in two games. Not a bad average.
No. Uh-uh.
Also, Mike, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, they take the L. Of course, they played that tournament game.
Yeah.
Mike, they lose 1-0 to the FC Tulsa team. Does this disappoint you, or do you kind of find it consistent with what the Riverhounds have been doing this year?
It's consistent what they've done this year. It kind of disappointed based off of like last year of how they performed, but you know, look at every year as its own year in a vacuum. It's a little disappointing. I think everyone, and even themselves, had higher expectations coming into this year of how they would perform, not just in the hunt tournament, but overall as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's still very new to Pittsburghers, so I don't think it's going to have that much of effect as far as fans. I think that fans are making their way out. Obviously, they made their way out last year because it was a successful team, but I got to tell you, at the end of the day, I think that this Pittsburgh Riverhounds team is gaining momentum over time, especially as of late. And again, soccer is still pretty new to people in Pittsburgh. You know, arguably the most popular sport on the planet, but here in Western Pennsylvania, you know, that's not the case. So I hope to see this team continue to do what they've done as far as building a fan base. You know, they're putting money into Highmark Stadium down there. So, you know, just got to hope the best and let's see what they can continue to do.
Like, it's hard to believe they've been around 20 years, because for like a large portion of it, they were considered a joke and an afterthought.
Yeah.
And it's sure. Like, they finally just becoming better and better.
Mike, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website, man?
The2DumbYinzers.com. They're running our social media. Links are all over there. Merch store is over there. The blog is over there. And there's a new one up of little facts and figures about Paul Skeens threw up this morning. So all over there at The2DumbYinzers.com.
Super. I listen, guys, give me a minute. I do want to give out some plugs today. We owe, and these people deserve. So let me do this. Ralph, I do want to say, Ralph Williams, who was a caller today, do check out his show every Wednesday at WBVP Radio. That's Beaver County Radio. You can check it out on YouTube because it is visualized as well, not just a radio show. You can also check him out on the WBVP Facebook page as well. That is every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Ralph and his co-host, Smoke and Jim, they put on a great sports show. I do highly recommend. Also, Brian Pasquale. Brian has a radio show as well at WBVP. He is the host of One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale. I do recommend his show as well. That is every Everyone, now listen. Ralph is every Tuesday. Brian is every Wednesday. I'm so sorry. Ralph's show is 4 to 6 on Tuesday. Brian's show, One Man's Opinion Zone, is Wednesday from 5 to 6. Both of these shows I highly recommend. And I do want to give a plug and special shout out to the guys at WBVP because they have been mentioning the show, the name of our show, on the morning time on the radio over at BVP. So again, appreciate go over to it. Check out their website. They have an app as well if you want to go check it out. Yes, Brian, I am straightening that out. I had jeans on wrong days. One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale every Wednesday, 5 to 6. Sports Corner with Ralph Williams every Tuesday from 4 to 6. Two great sports shows. I do highly recommend them. And I do, as I said, I give a big thank you to the guys over at WBVP as well. Guys, you ready to do a little bit of trivia?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. This is a Paul Skeens trivia question, guys. So, Derpy, put your thinking cap on. You guys on the board, here we go. Paul Skeens hit 313 with 10 doubles at LSU. Paul Skeens hit 313 with 10 doubles at LSU. How many home runs did Paul Skeens hit while at LSU? Take a minute to think that over, guys. Come right back to it. We are live. We're live 5 days a week right here, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. With the live show that we do every day, we take over and upload it on Spotify and podcast form at 8 o'clock p.m. So if you don't have a chance to watch, or maybe you'd just rather listen to the show, you could always put your earbuds in anywhere you're at work, at the, you know, wherever, the gym, and you could always listen to the show over on Spotify. Go check it out. Mike does have Livy Dunn over in his window, as you can see.
Yeah, she's my good luck for the rest of the show.
She what?
She's going to give me the answer.
All right.
She knows. She knows what's up.
She has to know, right? All right, gentlemen.
I'm hoping Paul Skeens knows, I don't know.
Paul Skeens hit 313. He hit 313 at LSU. He had 10 doubles. But the question of the day is, guys, I need to know how many home runs Paul Skeens hit at LSU. Derby, I'm going to start with you. How many home runs did Paul Skeens hit at LSU?
I'm
going to
go 23.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
All right. I'm locking Derpy. And Derpy said 23 home runs is what Paul Skeens hit at LSU. Mm-hmm. Paul Skeens hit 313 with 10 doubles at LSU. The question of the day is, how many home runs did he hit in that period of time? Derpy says 23. Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to go with 15.
15. And is that your final answer?
My final answer, Livy Dunn, she is saying that he hit 20. Whoa, Derpy, settle down.
What happened? What did you say, Mike?
Livy Dunn is saying he hit 20.
Livy Dunn saying he hit 20?
Yeah.
Brian on the board says, how long till Livy Dunn has a restraining order on Derpy?
Well, after that, you figured, fiasco, it's going to come quick.
Well, Taylor Swift, once he started heading the fan club, it was really quick. It was record setting time that she got the restraining order.
Yeah, and she went right to Jason. She went right to Travis Kelce.
Yeah. And Brian on the board says 12 home runs. So, Mike, you said 15. Derpy says 23. Brian says 12. And Livy Dunn says how many, Mike?
She said 20.
20. All right, so the question of the day, guys, is this. Paul Skeens hit 313 with 10 doubles at LSU. How many home runs did he hit in that same period of time? Guys, the answer to that question is 13. He hit 13 home runs while at LSU to go along with his 313 average and his 10 doubles. Maybe, just maybe, Mike, he could be the answer to this Pirates offense.
He might be. You know what? Just put him out there. Let him hit. What's the worst that could happen? He gets beamed in the head. Fuck it.
Yeah. I would bat him clean up at this point, you know?
You know what? Might as well.
Hey, Ohtani just hit 2 home runs the other night. So, I mean, you know, with this day and age and this caliber of player coming up, that may be the answer.
We need something at the plate.
Absolutely. Mike, anything before we get ready to take off?
Oh. It's all over Steelers Twitter. Someone went back through and tracked Strahan sacks. There was a phantom sack. We're not talking about the one where Brett Favre laid down. So now Yinzer fans are saying TJ Watt is the true, true sack king of the NFL.
Interesting.
And that the NFL Derby. Needs to go back through and retrack Strahan sacks. Take that sack away. Make TJ Watt number one.
Derby.
Let's go Buccos, I guess.
He's like, I guess.
All right. All right.
I got nothing really.
We got a big series coming up. Of course, Derby is the Guardians fan who's doing very well. So he has to stoop down to our level to have these conversations. Yeah, we appreciate
it. He's like, my team wins. Your team can't do anything right.
So we do appreciate you, Derby, coming down to our level. It helps us. It helps us psychologically. So also, I do want to say thank you to everybody for checking us out and hanging out with us today. We appreciate each and every one of you. We couldn't. We wouldn't do it without you. And then everybody on the board as well. Always super. The Collins, greatly appreciated. And again, everybody on the board always keeps things interesting. Guys, Paul Skeens, he's on the hill Saturday. Unless there's a lightning storm, you know, nothing is going to stop this. So
Jared Jones and Paul Skeens, that's a great weekend for baseball right there.
Absolutely. If there's any time for these bats to come alive, this would be a great time to give these guys a hand. But we will see.
The bats will come alive and the pitching will fall apart. Pirate baseball, baby.
Just like clockwork. Mike, anything else, man?
I got nothing. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Derby.
Like and subscribe.
Book your tickets for Saturday.
All right. I heard that they were selling fast. I got word at the radio station this morning that these tickets are selling fast. So if you do want some, you better get on it quick. All right. Mike, I think that's everything, sir.
That's everything.
For Mike at the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, Derby, myself, everybody have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, no, 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 no.